Would you be willing right now to ask the Lord? I guess we're supposed to read 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 first. I don't want to, neither does God, want to take away from what Sue's going to talk about. I am not only going to read one verse. But we have this treasure. What's the treasure? The verse before. In the face of Jesus Christ. We have the light. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's okay. We'll wait. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. The treasure is the knowledge of the glory, actually the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the treasure. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So would you be willing to pray right now and say, God, what do you want me to say? Would you be willing to pray that right now? God, what do you want me to say? So here's the question. What is God showing you? What is God telling you about the new year? What is God doing in you? What do you want different? What do you want? What does he want? Any of those questions. Anything along that line. As far as I know, I'm not teaching or preaching this morning. I'm just moderating the conversation. Yes. Hang on. Yes, I do. Miss Ada, the sister.
God has been speaking to me this past few days, and he has been basically confirming that this year is going to be the year that the promises that he has promised us is going to be fulfilled.
Is that for you personally, for Bernie Bush?
For mine and Nate's ministry in Ionia.
Cool. Do you want to elaborate? What's he promised you?
He promised that we would be part of his movement in Ionia. Movement's the wrong word, but it's the only word I can think of.
That's fine.
It's just
his work.
Be part of his work in Ionia. And he has promised us that we're going to be one of the centerpieces to get that going.
Awesome. Yes, ma'am?
You know, I think.
I can't help it.
As most of you know, I've been going through this really crazy maybe move, maybe not move thing, and I have not had complete peace about it. I thought I had peace about it, but it wasn't about the move. It was about who I could help in the move. And the Lord, at the last minute, showed me this is not where he wants me to be. However, the apartment complex isn't letting me out of the lease. But I'm trusting in God because he'll take care of it. And while I'm going through this, I ask him after I read what I read in the morning, I always ask him, is there something you want me to read? And he brought me to the story of David and Goliath. And I read the whole thing. And it showed me, what he was telling me was, even though I am weak as a child, like David was, he was going to give me the pebbles. He was going to give me the power and the strength to fight against all of this stuff that's going on. Because he wants me to be happy. And he's been really showing me a lot of stuff, showing me how much he loves me. And this new year, I believe that God has a lot of open doors for me.
Amen. Would it be okay if I talked about one word you said in there? I don't know that the Lord wants us to be happy. I think what the Lord wants is God's got a purpose for us. And when we are rightly positioned, we are going to be content. We're going to have peace. He wasn't happy on the cross. He wasn't happy having to be clothed in flesh and go through all the trials and all the problems. When I hear people say that, I know what Miss Judy means. But when I'm saying this more to whoever might be listening on the web, God's not about making us happy. God is about bringing us into oneness with Him. And when we're in oneness with Him and rightly positioned, we are going to be contented. We are going to have peace. We're going to be in oneness with God. Everything's going to fit. Everything's going to flow. It may not be what we, because it's not going to be what we want. He's not looking to please our flesh, is what I'm saying. He's not looking to make us happy in the flesh. He's looking to make us happy in the spirit. And I know Miss Judy would wholeheartedly agree with what I'm saying. I would think so. And she's nodding her little head. So, anybody else? You want to comment after I said that?
I'm having a hard time speaking right now. And this is true because my true happiness is in Jesus and what He wants for me. And His peace is, and His contentment in me is my happiness.
There is a verse, I'm trying to think of where it is, something like 1 Timothy 5, I think, and it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having therefore food and raiment, let us therewith be content." Over in Philippians 4, Paul said, "I have known the loss of all things, and had all kinds of things," he said, "but I've learned to be content in whatsoever state I am in." And for me, that's been in the state of Michigan. You see, I can learn to be content in the state of Michigan. You know, people are like, "Why would you come here after living in Texas and Florida?" I'm like, "This is where God wanted. I never served God till I came here. This is God's plan for me. I never would have come north of Mason-Dixon line. But God wanted me here." But we find ourselves in all kinds of states, a state of confusion, a state of having to move, a state of other people around us moving, a state of people asking questions, a state of wondering what's going on, you know. If you read that passage, that whole chapter in 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, it says, we are distressed, but we're not perplexed, okay. Or however it says it. I don't remember what the words are. Okay? But when you look at it, we do get perplexed. It says we are perplexed. Okay? But not in despair. But we get perplexed. We can't figure it out with our little pea brains. But are we willing to say yes to God? Because when we say yes to God, then we'll be content. Then we will have peace. I like Isaiah 26:3. Thou, you really ought to memorize this. Somebody named Dana or Jen sent this to me this week, but I'd memorized it years ago because God taught me it was a key. It says, thou wilt keep him, God will keep him in perfect peace when my mind is stayed or rested on thee. Why? Because I trust in him, because he trusteth in him. When we are trusting in him, when our mind is focused on him, when we are stayed on him, we stay in perfect peace. When we take our eyes, that's where Peter was walking on the water. When we take our eyes off of Jesus, when we quit focusing on him, we get caught up in all the tumultuous waves of this world. So, what's God doing in you, John? What's God telling you? What are you looking forward to in the new year? It doesn't have to be John. It could be Rick. It could be Glenn too. Whoever. It could be Roxanne too.
Well, the Lord's really opened my eyes this year. And all my life I felt I've had to do for myself to make it in this world. And if I wasn't going to do it, nobody else was. That's how I was raised. But in these last, especially December, bills, Christmas presents, all that, and I was beginning to get burdened. And I go, Lord, I know I'm not made to carry this burden. And before, I could never hand it to him. I always held on to it. But when I handed it to him, we were watching something the other night in prayer, and this guy said, it's like this tractor and trailer just took off my shoulders. It took all this weight. And then every time I started thinking about money or situations, I said, God, I just want to thank you that I know that you have it, and what's happening through me is something that has to happen to get to where you're taking me next. But, I mean, for me, it was huge not to, because I'm always thinking, maybe I should go get another job. Maybe I should work 3 jobs. You know, but I know that's not where I'm supposed to be. But it's taken me less and less not to go even into despair, just knowing that God's got it. And I'm content where I'm at. But I guess the only time I have a hard time dealing with is when she doesn't have things she needs or wants, and she doesn't ask for anything. That's my hardest time. But I know even in those times, he's working through both of us to take us where we're going. And I'm just so thankful. I mean, I still kind of get, you know, boiled up and festered up or whatever you want to call it. But as soon as I realize I'm doing that, and usually it's the help of my wife, it's just like, why did I even go there? I lost my focus. Whoops, let's get back to Jesus. He's got it. There's food in the house. We've got clothes. We've got a car to drive. And there's been a lot of days, I got to be honest, that I haven't wanted to get out of bed to come here. But as soon as I pull up in front of that building and park the car, it's like I'm geared, I'm ready, I'm excited to be in this building. So I know that's my calling, and I know that God's want. I just got to get rid of the rest of the stuff of my attitudes. And
I was going to share this with you. I was sharing this with Pastor Glenn about, because you said Philippians 4:11. And I was just telling you about, I was sleeping one night, and God, and I heard this voice said 11. So I went through the scriptures. And I read verses that came to 11. And all of them came together because it talked about being apostles. It talks about being teachers. And then it talks about being content. And it talks about where he was wanted me to go. So God spoke to me and he told me I'm going to be more outgoing. He's going to put me more outgoing out. And You know, and I can see that, and I already knew it, but he confirmed it. And I could just see people. I could see people on the streets. I can just see them all over there. And I got a peace in my heart about doing that too. And it was a confirmation. When you said 4:11, it was a confirmation, because I was just sharing that with Pastor Glenn about the vision, about what God gave me about the 11. All he told me was 11, and I had to research it. And all the 11s added up to all what he wanted me to do.
What we're doing is, what's God telling you? What's God doing in you? What's God showing you? What do you want for the new year? Where do you think you're going this year? So everybody's talking one at a time, I'm thankful. Wait a minute. Oh, I know. But if you're going to talk, then you need that. Thank you.
Oh, okay. No, I was just thinking about yesterday that, you know, when you pray in the name of Jesus, you know, please, you know, help these people or do something. You know, but it's not a magic word that you pray for something, you get it. It seemed like that for a while to me, you know, in the name of Jesus, and then that's, but I, what I'm pretty sure I'm right about is that it means in accordance with his will, in the name of Jesus, what, you know, his will, and not, you know, Santa Claus, this magical saying. Anyway.
Amen. In the name of Jesus is in the authority of Jesus. He gives us authority as his ambassadors, as his representatives. And he says, because I'm living in you, if I move on you and you care about somebody, you see something, you want to meet a need, whatever, he said, you speak it forth, because that I'm inside of you, stirring you. Because you're basically selfish, you know, everybody on the planet. So when we care about other people, that's God in us, okay? And so it's like I'm giving you authority, he says. And if you come in oneness with me, in 1 John 5:14-15, he says, if we pray anything according to his will, he hears us. And then the next verse says, and if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So in other words, if you pray according to his will, you know he's going to hear you, and then he's going to give you whatever you ask. But it's because he lives inside of us, and it's exactly like you said, it's not magical words, but we all start off there. But I hear so many people live there, you know. They're still thinking it's just magical words. You got to put it at the end of a prayer or something, or you say them. But it's like in your spirit, remember, how do you know if something's true? What does the word have to say about it? So you always check it out. God gives us the eternal foundation of the word to check out if what we're believing is a truth based on the word of God. And then number two, does it bear witness in our spirit? Is it the Holy Spirit? Because there's times I've gone to ask for things, and God's telling me no. It's like he's shutting it down, saying no. He's taking away my peace. There's no bearing witness. There's no ringing true inside of me, because that's not what God is wanting to do. We had a guy come here named Richard, and Pastor Glenn brought him up to me. I remember right around here somewhere. I think it was right on the other side. But maybe that wall wasn't there. And he said, Richard went to the doctor, has cancer, and we're praying for his healing. So we'd like you to pray. So I go to pray for him, and as soon as I went to pray, God said, don't pray for his healing. I said, what do you want? He said, tell him to get ready to go. Get ready, prepare to die. And he died a few months later. But you see, during that time, God had brought him here to prepare to die, because he did not know Jesus. He had never been in a church in 61 years. But he came in this building because it was a resale shop. And not knowing it was a church, he wouldn't have walked into a church, because he didn't know what that was. It was foreign to him. And you know what? Coming in on what you said, goes along with this, Pastor Glenn, too, okay, out on the street, street pastor, okay, is God. There are people, they will never come to a church, but God wants to take Jesus to them. So, church, we are supposed to go. See, C-H, C-H, blank, you know, C-H, blank, blank, C-H, what's missing? You are. Okay? But church is God's house. They don't know God. Why would they come to his house? And many people that have represented him to them, why would they sure don't want to go to his house? There's nothing different. I'm already a member of a club. I'm a member of a gang. Why do I need to go to that club? Okay? It's different. But when we have this treasure, the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ living inside of us, when we're in oneness with him, when we are contented, when we are yielding to his will, then he is living through us. He's preparing us for what he's wanting to do, which is to get loose through us. He's wanting to Jesus people through us. He's wanting to love people through us. He's wanting to rescue people through us. His question is, will you loan me your body? Will you loan me your body? Will you let me talk through you? Will you let me hug through you? Will you let me give through you? Will you let me kiss through you? Do you understand? Isn't it cool? Okay, who's next? What is God doing in you? What is God showing you? Where is God taking you? What does God want to say through you? Maybe this is one of those times where you can't raise your hand and say something all awesome. Maybe this is one of those times where you raise your hand and say, I just need prayer. Like where Judy's been for the last several weeks. I just need prayer. I don't know what's going on. I'm torn. My life's an upheaval. I don't know. I'm struggling. That's what being a family is about. Not necessarily doing everything that a physical family does, and yet being willing to. But our expectation has to be in God, not putting it in others. But when you, the whole key, in Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. The law of the Spirit. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God living through us. Bear ye one another's burdens. See a need, and you pray about it, and God says, he moves on you to do something. You can offer. You could make steps in that direction, praying for somebody. When I first got into church in 1977, God got a hold of my heart. I was already saved, but he got a hold of my heart as far as surrendering to his lordship and being in oneness with him. And I said, I just want to do something for you. I said, but I don't have anything. I'd like to give you something, but I'm broke. I said, but, and he said, all I want is you. And I said, no, I want to give you something good. And he said, yeah, I know, all I want is you. One day, God said to me, and he's saying it to you this morning if you haven't heard it before. You, personally, are worth the blood of Jesus to the Father. He had me write that on my, what's that thing called? Sun visor in my car. He had a number of sayings, and we printed them up and laminated them and put it on my sun visor, and one of them was, "You are worth the blood of Jesus to the Father." And you put your name at the beginning, Roxanne. Okay, Terry. Little Miss Judy. That's how you have to write it. Little Miss Judy. Okay. Do you understand? Okay. So, what's God saying? Okay. Did I hand it to the wrong person?
I don't know.
Is God telling you something? Or was that me? Mm-hmm. We know, don't we?
Well, I'm supposed to be running a flower shop, but not very many people are coming in, so I need prayer for that. Customers help. I don't know. I guess I just need prayer for the flower shop.
Think about the resale shop for a minute. How many times has somebody said, if the whole purpose of the resale shop was to reach Richard, it would have been worth everything, right? Now, that has to be God in us saying that. Because what value was he to us? You understand? So, what I would say to you after you said about the flower shop, the thing that I felt like he wanted me to say was, all you have to do is be available. And when you're available, you're waiting. I think in Psalm 138:2, it says, "Behold, as the eyes of a servant look into the hand of his master, and as the eyes of a maiden into the hand of our mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until that he have mercy upon us." So, I think it's 138:2. I think. If it's not, then let me know and I'll find it for you. When I tell people we're a waiting church.
When you said waiting, that really struck me because that's what God has me doing in here. You know, I should be in the best shape that anybody because I walk. I mean, when nobody's in here, it's like I read my word, I do what I'm supposed to do, and then I pace. It's like I can't sit still. And I was getting a little frustrated. Of course, this last week, you know, it was like, this was like a morgue pretty much, you know. And I'm going, Lord, what is it? In fact, Wednesday, we were thinking of closing early. I said, God, what do you think about this? He said, just wait. The next thing I know, that was like maybe 1:30-ish, something like that. The next thing I know, these two tables were filled with people. And that's what God said. You just need to be available. You don't have to do anything. Just be here and be ready.
There is a process for anything. If when they were going to start a ministry, we'll call it, over in Ionia, there's a process. They have to start praying. God, what's the next step? And it's like, okay, what about a building? So now they got to start looking for a building. Do you understand? There's a process. Then you got to start talking to people. There's a process. Okay? Well, there's a process in how God, what God wants to do with us. There's a process. And the process God wants to do, maybe it's Psalm 123:2. Is that what you're looking for? Psalm 123:2. But 138:2 is something else. I just can't think of what it is. But anyway, I think that's the one where it says he has magnified his word above all his name. But anyway, Psalm 123, 2, about waiting. Part of the process is waiting. Is God worth waiting for? Did you get saved when you were 1 day old? How about 1 year old? How about 5? How about 10? How about 50? How about 20? Ding. Oh, did God have to wait? He suffered their manners in the wilderness. God waited for us. He still waits for us. We need to be available. Waiting, waiting, waiting.
Yeah. What you've been going through in that little song you sang.
What song?
You shared with me.
Oh. I've been singing it to them. Okay. So I'm working with Nick, my new guy. And God has me witness to him, talk to him, pray for him. Just whatever. So after we're together every day, I'm getting to where it can just be me and God again, even though he's here. So I just talk to Jesus all day. Like everything I'm doing, everything I'm getting ready to do, even though I've done it thousands of times, I want to include him in everything I'm doing. Have you ever in your life you had to come back to God? Well, why would we leave him?
Right.
That's what's called practicing his presence, including him in everything. So I'm singing all the time. As a matter of fact, I tell Nick, I'm sorry, I'm singing again. But I can't help it. Before I got saved, I never sung. I mean, I screeched rock and roll songs, but I never had this song in my heart. But ever since I met Jesus, I have a song in my heart all the time. We sing hymns and stuff. Sings a melody, it sings a melody, precious harmony. In my heart there rings a melody, there rings a melody of love. I don't know if it sounds exactly like that, but it's close. Okay, you got the tune. Okay, approximately. Okay, it might be off on the scale somewhere, but it's okay. It's got these little on the things, but it's basically. So I'm singing. God gave me a song one day in the shower, and I heard myself singing it, and I was like, Lord, and he's like, this is me. And it's a song from the 60s, and it goes like this. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another day. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it any other way. It was by a guy named James Taylor, and I had an album of his. So anyway, I used to memorize all these songs like I memorized scripture. I used to memorize rock and roll or whatever songs I was listening to, Beatles and Rolling Stones and all that kind of stuff, you know. So I'm in the shower a few years ago, and God's like, I'm hearing myself singing this song, and I'm like, and sometimes I catch myself singing songs, and I'm going, Lord, I don't want this, or thinking thoughts, and I'm like, I don't want this. And so I'm hearing it, and I'm like, okay, it's like, all of a sudden I'm hearing it, but it's like somebody else is singing it, and I'm hearing it, and God's going, this is me, listen. And I don't even know if it was out loud. I just was hearing it, you know. So then he said, I want to give you another verse. I said, oh? He said, so I start singing. He goes, won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to, he says, you need me every day. He says, but don't you need me more during the day? I go, yeah. He goes, then let me give you this. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another hour. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it without your power, without your grace, without your face. And I'm like, wow, Lord. And he's like, do you need me more than every hour? I go, yeah. He says, let me give you another one. Won't you look down upon me, Jesus? You got to help me make a stand. You just got to see me through another minute. My body's aching and my time is at hand. I won't make it, Jesus, unless you are in it right here, Lord. And it's like I'm singing this in front of Nate. I'm Nick all the time. Because it's where I live. It's like I can't make it without him. I don't want to. I hate it when I'm doing something and then I feel like I'm coming back to him, coming back to an awareness of him. I hate that because it's like I don't want to go anywhere out away from you. I don't want you to sit in the back seat. You know what I'm saying? Do I need to let you go? Yes, sir. I've been waiting.
Well, first of all, your question about Richard and what worth was he to us. It's not, you know, that's it, you know. It wasn't that he was here for him. He was here for us. We had to make a stand. It was about teaching us. Because we were coming out of a place where it wasn't so good at a time. We let the enemy come into our camp. We had to do something different. But what God is doing for me, he does it every day. He allows me to wake up. He allows me to live in him. He gives me his power. He gives me his strength. And when I don't know what to say, he gives me his words, what he wants to say. And I don't do things rightly all the time. And I speak things into existence that shouldn't be. Like, oh, I can't do this. Oh, I'm sick. You know, if we quit saying things that aren't, that we don't have to, we're putting that upon ourselves when we do that. And if we just live in that power and his grace that he's given us, that we go through things unnecessarily all the time. And because he has so much more for us. But we can't get there when we put all that in our way. So this new year, that's my goal. It's not to be unlearnable. Like I always say, it's hard for me to learn what's in the Word. But yet, this year's my goal is to learn what God is saying through the Word. Because that's where he speaks to us, is in his Word. I said I didn't want to cry, but that's who I am. I can't help it.
It's okay.
But I'm just looking. It's not just for me. It's for this body here. Where has God taken us? You know? If we just humble ourselves and look at it. Try to look at it, because we're in our own eyes, but try to look at it through his eyes. Let go of our way of reasoning of things. And let him put his reasoning in us. Let God be God in us. Let us be the light and shine for all those who we come in front of. For the time is at hand, and he's coming shortly.
Waiting. When Jesus... Yes.
I'm going to wait on God.
When Jesus went through his life and then he was crucified, the devil was like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And then Jesus got up from the dead. And the devil was like, dude, road. He was just like, man, everything was undone. I thought I won. As Brother Nate would say, 5 minutes, 5 seconds in the presence of God could just interrupt eternity. Well, in my life, okay, forget my life, but it applies to my life, but go back and look at Moses. This guy is preparing to be the leader of the most powerful, biggest. He's preparing to be the president of the United States in modern day terms. But back then it was Egypt. It was the most powerful nation on the planet, comparable to America. Powerful. And he was preparing to be that. He was the son, the adopted son. He was preparing to be that. And God interrupted it and said, it's not my way. Because he tried, he had inside of him, he knew he was supposed to help his people. He wasn't an Egyptian, he was a Jew, who were the slaves, the servants of the Egyptians. So he tried to do it in his own power. He wanted to run a flower shop. He had his own plans, his own way of doing it. He moving in his own strength, his own time. And God's like, no. You already killed somebody. He said, the flesh killeth. He said, that's not my way. He said, I care about all of these people. I'm not willing that one should perish. If his name's Richard, I want you to show you the value of a soul. So he said, Moses, what you need to do is, he said, for you to come into oneness with me, I got to take you out of this big place and put you in a little place all by yourself. It's called time out with God. Well, if I'm 40, does that mean I have to sit here 40 minutes? Because the 5-year-old only has to sit there 5 minutes. And God says, no, in your case, we need 40 years. Waiting, waiting, waiting for the light to turn green. We're waiting, waiting, waiting for the light to turn green. We're just going to keep sitting here till the light turns green. Something's wrong. The people in front of us aren't moving. We're not supposed to honk the horn. So we're waiting, waiting, waiting till light turns green again. Do you understand? Because God is preparing us to get loose through us. We have to have his values. Our values are not his values. We have our own plans, our own agendas, our own will, our own way. We think how things ought to be done. We want God to come bless it like Terry was saying, you know, the magic words, in the name of Jesus, bless this little flower shop. Customers come in. Maybe because I was asking, God, is that what you want? He's like, for me to pray for customers to come in? He's like, not necessarily. He said, right now, she just needs to be available. Well, that's what God's wanting to do with all of us, to be available. That means we have to lose our life to find his. That means we have to take our rightful place and wait on him for whatever his purpose and plan is. Yes, sir.
I have this thought. This verse is wrecking me, dude.
Go ahead.
Number 7. Right?
2 Corinthians chapter 4.
Verse 7.
But we have this treasure.
Yeah.
In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power
might
be of God and not of us.
There's about 5 things that, you know, we could go on about, but.
Oh, so is Preacher Nate coming out now? The word going to come forth in his ministry?
Yeah.
Now he's going to Five things, huh? Oh, good. Sounds like a sermon. I see how God's doing this. Go ahead. Five things, please.
And I'm just throwing this out there. We say, oh, you know, worship or at church or in our life, oh, Jesus, come and do this and do that. And like, here's my thought. Where's Jesus? He's in each one of us. Like, we want all this stuff to happen or whatever, and it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, where did Jesus go? He didn't go anywhere. He's living in here. So, when you move...
Then we're releasing him to move.
Then we're releasing him to move, you know? I mean, you know, it's just so simple, but we don't get that. I
have you ever been in a big service, thousands of people... Mm-hmm. It's all exciting, blah, blah, blah. We think it was wonderful. When the dust settles, where's Jesus? When the dust settles, where's Jesus' impact in their lives? Where? How are they different? Was it a red letter day, or was it just a, we felt good? Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Mm-hmm. What's Jesus doing? What's mm-hmm. Jesus? How did Jesus impact?
So, you know, I mean, just coming right down to the bare bones of things, if it's not going right or you're having a bad attitude or whatever, like, I don't do that so deep. It's like, but it's so simple.
Just make it simple.
But
we'll make it simple. Say it simple.
So.
We block him?
Yeah. So. So get away from yourself and find out what the Lord wants, you know, and just release it. It's not rocket science. Or we're not calling him over from Africa. Oh, come visit our worship this morning. Or no, he's right here. Like, really. Stop all the games and all the facade and all the smoke and mirrors and all the stuff you've been taught. And yeah, it is about Jesus, but he's inside of you. So get over it, you know? Like, come on, man, let's go. Get yourself out of the way and release Jesus.
Sometimes people, can I say this?
Yep.
Nope. I mean, do you have more to say? Because I think I'm going to bust.
You don't want to know. Yeah. No, go ahead, man. This is crazy.
Sometimes people say, like somebody said to me yesterday, people keep telling me to let go. What do I let go of? I don't got anything in my hands. I said, ask God what you need to break agreement with. What are you holding on to? A belief system? Something you've been taught? Something you've practiced? I said, what is it you're holding on to? Let's make a practical application of how to let go. Okay? And how to let God. Let's make a practical application. Let's take Roxanne with a flower shop. I feel like God wants me to start a flower shop. I've got an opportunity. I've got all the supplies. I've got a building. I've got. So she sets it all up, and then she stands there. Now, where's the customers? I don't have money to go spend to do advertising, to put out a neon sign, and customers aren't coming. What do I do? So then, if she tries to figure it out, she just gets what? Burdened, frustrated, panicked, angry, emotions of all kinds. Okay? Gotta have the noises. I love the noises. She gets emotional. Isn't that what we all do? So, how does she let go? Are you ready? God, this is the flower shop. See how it's all flowery? This is the flower shop. Father God, Tim, would you hold your hands out like that? Father God, I've done everything. And there's nothing more I can do. So I'm going to give you the flower shop. Hold, Father God, will you take the flower shop? Okay. Thank you. Okay. I'm sorry. You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. You got the flower shop. Will you take it? He's like, I was just waiting for you to give it to me. Okay. I'm not going to touch it. All I'm going to do is stand here and be available. I'm just going to show up. Now, let's take that to what Rick was saying, okay? And apply it. It's not that we have to witness or tell everybody how to get saved or get people healed. You know what we need to do? Just hang out with God. And in our everyday life, every minute of the day, you're making a phone call. And for me, I make a phone call and he's like, a thought comes to me. Bless this person. Pray for this person. Give them a good new year. Bring them up on my lap. Whatever he says. And I just, God, I've said these words before. And he goes, because I'm aware that other people around me can hear what I'm saying. It's like, Lord, I've said these words before. He said, yeah, but I want you to say them to them. He's like, where do you think you got those words? He says, go ahead, Pete. We'll call you Repeat. Okay. And so I just say the words, and next thing I know, somebody's crying. Somebody's going, oh, wow, that's the best part of my day. You just made my week. All the things that they say. All I'm doing is hanging out with him. All she needs to do is hang out with him. If he brings her customers, if he gives her an idea, I want you to do this. Oh, I didn't think of that before. He says, I couldn't tell you because you were kept trying to get me to do what you wanted. He says, so I was waiting until you were done. He says, now that you're quiet, have you ever tried to talk to somebody, you get their attention, and you want to say something to me? Go ahead. You want to say something to me?
Brother?
Yeah.
Brother?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Brother?
Yeah. What do you want?
Listen.
Go ahead, say it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm listening.
You got it?
I'm listening.
Okay.
Have you ever had anybody do that? Mm-hmm. They're not paying attention to you, are they? You know what we used to do with our pastor? Did he do it with us or we do it with him? Yeah, and we would say, I'd put my hands on his cheeks and I'd say, Pastor, I need your eyes. Because if I didn't have his eyes, I'd stop talking. Because if I don't have his eyes, I don't have his attention. I have a hard time when I'm somewhere and there's a whole lot of people and I don't know and I'm preaching or something and all these people are coming up. I'm so aware of everybody, I have a hard time focusing on the one because I'm so aware that other people are standing in line, even in here, when people keep coming up, you know, like John. He'll come and he'll just stand there for a bit and then he just kind of walks away and I'm like, I want to, but God has been teaching me the one that you're dealing with. This is who you need to pay attention to. If they're not willing to wait, then they're not willing to wait. Do you understand? It's like paying attention to the one. So as you're going through life and you're putting food on plate after plate, and then God, you see one and God stirs you, you're just as selfish as everybody else. I'm sorry. You're a good little girl, Leida, but you're just selfish as everybody else. So when you have this thought about that cute little booger or that one who's not cute, then just pray for him. God, what? Just say, God, what? It's like that simple. God, what? It's like pray for him. Reach out to him. You have a good day. Or God bless you. Or whatever. And if you don't, You may sense their lack of God, and you want to bring God to them, and it's like nothing comes out. You can't think of anything. But I'm just going to tell you, it's an exercise. You're going to try to say stuff, and it's just going to fall like little rocks out of your mouth, like gravel. It's not going to do anything, because that's just us trying to do something. Because they're not ready. They're not open. They're not receptive. It's not God flowing. You have to have a receiver when you have a radio. Doesn't matter if you put out a good radio signal. If you don't have a good receiver, it don't work. If there ain't batteries in the in the little, what's it called, radio, then it don't work. You got to have a good receiver. Well, some people are not good receivers. They're not ready. They're full. You ever try to tell somebody and they go, I know, I know. You might as well shut your face. Somebody starts doing this to you, you might as well quit talking because they're telling you, I don't want to hear it. All we got to do is hang out with him. Go ahead. You had more.
I was just saying, it says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Everything you're saying. So, what are we looking for? It's already there. Why are we going around the mountain and beating our head against the wall and continuing to live in our attitude? And it's already there. So basically what it's saying is, why are we question? There's no question. I mean, just calm down, like my grandpa would say, back up, regroup, and listen. It's already all there.
And God has a plan. Are we wanting him to bless our plans, or do we want to get in on his plan? That's what it comes down to. God had a plan for Moses, and it was to deliver millions of people. But he had to go through 40 years of preparation before he was ready to let God do what he wanted, so God could do what he wanted the way he wanted through him.
You know, I was saying that, we speak things into existence, and that a lot of times it's the negative, but we have the power to speak it in the positive into existence also, where, you know, we say, well, God, I want to live in your power. I want to live. I'm not going to, or you got some kind of a stronghold that's against you, and then you start speaking against that stronghold against you in a positive way, and so that it's not powering over you anymore.
So you got to remember sometimes, too, you got to still continue to take those baby steps. Because as long as when you take those baby steps, you're waiting. But when you just run past it, you're missing everything.
To go along with that, it's called to be still and know the voice of God.
That's it. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. We have a hard time knowing that he is God when we're moving, when we're talking.